The department officials, DM, this thing very good.
You can't put claim on
we the rest, want to start. We think it's always important to respect the time so that it also respects you. I take it that we are in agreement. Can I take this opportunity to open the meeting and welcome the honorable members and appreciate that you are here in time and in your numbers. Welcome to our support staff. You are also here in time in your numbers. The departmental officials led by the DM and the DG, thank you very much for also coming. I'm hoping that they are sorting the issue of the condition here is a bit hot. Those that are dealing with logistics, let's see if they can indeed handle logistics. It's really not conducive here. We, however, have to do what we should do. We're not like working underground. So we must still be happy. Thank you very much. The meeting for today is not a long meeting. We'll deal with first the minutes of the last meeting and then get the main subject matter, the briefing from the department on the properties and land parcels earmarked for land reform through land redistribution process. That's the main subject matter that we'll be dealing with today. I'm happy both the DG and the DM are here. And I'm told the presentation will be done by a lady that the DG will tell us. Can we then give our committee secretary the opportunity to give us the apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to honorable members, the DM and the department, as well as my colleagues. Three apologies from our side. From the portfolio committee side, Honorable Mchobo is unable to attend this meeting today. She's having flight problems from KZN, so she'll only get into a later flight. Second apology, Honorable Matropa. I'm told she will need to leave the meeting quite early, around 12:15 or so. Then from the department side, the minister has attended his apology due to cabinet meetings that he has to attend. However, the DM is as well as the DG and the department are here on his behalf. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. On the floor, I guess we have no further apologies. DG?
Members, PM. The apologies for Mr. Maroha. He might join us late. There were some flight hiccups.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We are then, having done the apologies, we are going straight to the first item, which is the minutes of the last meeting. Can we all go, honorable members, to the first page? Second page. The last page as well. Uh, Thank you. Can we have a mover for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Masuela.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member, the DM. I move for the adoption of this minutes of the 12th of February 2019 as a true reflection of what transpired on that day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Seconda. Honorable Ryder.
Definitely not, Chair. The contents are far too brief for me to agree that it's a fair reflection of the meeting.
Can we note that point that the minute must have muscles, must help the person who was not in the meeting to understand the kind of issues that were dealt in the meeting. But having said that, we do know that the main subject matter was dealing with one document which was led by our content advisor, which we all have copies of that. Maybe the minister should have explained that part as well, so that a person would understand, because the minister must really tell something. They must tell a story. I do note and accept the criticism from the Honorable Writer. It makes sense. Otherwise, it's as good as having no minutes, if you see what I see. But it does say we were here. It does say the minutes was to deal with the report of the high-level panel. Can I get a second, Honorable Matebe?
I second him.
For you to be recorded, can you use one of the...
Thank you, Chair. I second the minutes suggestion.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But Commissioner Secretary, do note the points raised, which I also agree with. We are now moving to... Thank you very much, Honorable Reda, even for that criticism is important. It's building the committee, because you need reflections, even when we are no more around. But people must know what were we dealing with. Thank you very much. Can we then move to the main subject matter, which will be the briefing from the department, briefing the committee on the properties and the land parcels earmarked for land reform through the land restitution processes. So we'll then hand over to the DM and the DG. First, over to you, DM. You are not on record, DM. Okay, Director General.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, Deputy Minister, colleagues. We'll start with the presentation which is going to be made by the DDG, SASA. Should there be questions, we'll add, and then if there are issues to be added, we'll do so. But I'll suggest that she goes through to the presentation immediately. Madam.
Thank you, SASA.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Sasa Subban from the Real Estate Investment Services Branch. Our focus this morning is on properties that are marked for the land restitution through the land reform process. So, Chairperson, this is one of the most important programs within our organization currently, and there's dedicated focus to the land reform program, and especially for restitution, the restitution program. Now, the presentation will deal with the background, where we will sketch the technical and legislative challenges that we have overcome as a DPW PMT to fast track the land released for restitution purposes specifically. And also, DPW PMT is part of the IMC, the Interministerial Committee, that is headed by the Deputy President. And we're working in close collaboration with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in a programmatic manner so that we can accelerate the land reform process, and the presentation will allude to that as we go on. So in terms of the legislation governing the state's immovable assets, we have the PFMA where section 76 historically, the National Department of Public Works, we used to release properties for crisis for restitution purposes with endorsement for National Treasury. In 2006, the establishment of the Property Management Trading Entity was approved by National Treasury, but we started meaningful operations in 2015-2016. The operationalization of the PMTE meant the migration of the DPW portfolio of state land to the PMTE balance sheet. And in this regard, we have to value all our properties and ensure that we record our assets accordingly on the asset register. Further, we have the section 76(1) of the PFMA that states that the National Treasury must make the regulations concerning the alienation, letting, or other disposal of state assets and gift or donations to the state. The Treasury Regulation 21(3)(1) says that the relevant Treasury approval must be obtained before institutions offer or accept any gifts or donations of immovable property. Treasury Regulation 16A7.3 requires that any sale of immovable state property must be at market-related value unless the relevant Treasury approves otherwise. So this is the legislative context, and we going on further. When we had the Office of the Valuer General via the Property Valuations Act 2014, Act Number 17 of 2014, also governing this environment where the OVG values land in certain instances at zero. So when the OVG ascribes a positive value to land, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, according to Treasury, will have to provide further justification to PMT and Treasury as why must this land then be released at Kratos. Treasury is willing to look at this. They don't have a problem. They do understand the implications it has onto the PMTE, but they also understand the importance to address the past imbalances of the state and to move forward with the PMT in this regard. So they have agreed then to actively monitor our financial health, look at the values of the properties that we are giving off for free or for limited value, so that they can then assist with improving the financial sustainability via the Treasury processes. With the challenges of having the PFMA, the Property Valuers Act, etc., we sought a legal opinion to determine which act supersedes the other. We received an outcome of the legal opinion in December 2018 from Senior Counsel Gauntlet, and he states as follows. the legal status of the PMT as a trading entity does not warrant an interpretation or application of the relevant statutory provisions so as to preserve for the PMT an entitlement to market value compensation of assets disposed of for purposes of land restitution. Further, the opinion states that noting in Treasury Regulation 19 imposes a legal obligation on the trading entity to dispose of assets only at market value, and that there exists no legal requirement for National Treasury to approve a disposal of immovable property below market value. So these developments now have given us new impetus, and this legal opinion then assists us to accelerate the land release process for restitution claims. And we've informed the relevant Treasury of this outcome, and we're working together with National Treasury in this regard. Chairperson, we have with the Department of Rural Development, we have 539 claim properties that we're working together with Rural Development on. So the request for land reform for restitution claims, it emanates from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, they undertake their processes to determine if the application is deemed legitimate, and they process the claim accordingly. A total of 261 properties for settled claims, consisting of 141,606.4352 hectares. These are settled claims. Now, what constitutes a settled claim is that these have been processed via the Provincial State Land Disposal Committee. Department of Rural Development has obtained their ministerial approval in terms of Section 42D, so this can be processed further with the relevant custodian. And we'll come to a table and a summation of that in the next slides. 278 properties for outstanding claims, they are still being processed. These claims are with Department of Rural Development. They're undertaking their process of legitimizing these claims, verification, determination of ownership, etc., and then obviously they have to run the relevant approvals as just outlined in terms of the Provincial State Land Disposal Committee and the approvals by the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform in terms of obtaining the Section 42D. So in relation to the above 539 properties, we are working with, or Rural Development is working in close collaboration with Department of Public Works. And together we have developed an action plan that spans over 3 years. So the following properties for the 261 settled claims, the verification process has been further undertaken by National Department of Public Works. And as the table indicates, under the custodianship of National Department of Public Works, we have 43 properties. Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is 55 properties. The provincial departments, and I want to pause, we need to note that Northwest has 93 properties that requires to be released. Private is 43, we have one with Water Affairs, and 18 is still with verification process, but they're quite complex. As indicated, as part of the Interministerial Committee on Land Reform, we've presented the following joint program to the IMC. The 98 properties that I've alluded to, the 43 properties that I've alluded to is under the custodianship of National Department of Public Works, and the 55 is within the custodianship of other custodians. And these are targeted for release by the end of this financial year. 100 properties are targeted for release before the end of 2019-20 financial year, and a further 100 is targeted for the 2021 financial year. I did allude to that we're working also with the Northwest Province. There's been ministerial intervention by our minister with the MEC, et cetera, to fast-track this release, and together with our administrator, we're looking at assisting where required so that these properties can be released accordingly. The action plan for settled claim for the 261 settled claims are as follows. The 43 land claims to be finalized by National Department of Public Works. In this regard, we have 12 that is finalized already. We've got 26 that will be finalized by end of Feb, and that will leave us with another 5 to be finalized, but we believe we will exceed that target. The requirement to finalize a claim, it's the valuation, ministerial approval, and then National Treasury endorsement where required. The other 55 claims are with the other custodians, and working in the IMC technical team, they've indicated they will finalize also by 31 March 2019. And the 100 claims, as indicated by all custodians, we've committed for 31st March 2020, and the other 100 claims by 31st March 2021. So that's the program that has been presented to the IMC chairperson and honorable member. So the properties that the land parcels that have been released in the 18-19 financial year already totals 8,543 hectares or 44 hectares. And so we've got the additional land parcels that's in progress. We've got 16 in KZN, 6 in Limpopo, another 2 in Western Cape, and another 3 in Northwest. In terms of the one that the properties that have already been processed, we've done 5. In KZN to the Mkhonazi community with the beneficiaries. We've done 3 in the Limpopo province to the Bahopa claimant community. We've done 2 in the northwest to the Kunu community. We've done 2 in the Western Cape to the Kovi community and to the Protea Village Action community. So for phase 2, we have the outstanding verification, which Department of Rural Development is busy with, and as Department of Public Works, we're assisting with the verification process. And out of the 278 outstanding claims, 158 properties are under the custodianship of National Department of Public Works. And these will be processed as phase 2 once requests with supporting documentation are received from Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. And we're working closely. The technical teams are working with each other to get the relevant documentation, see where missing information is, and where we can fast track. So that is the benefits of having the technical team working together, and this will be fast tracked accordingly. There's a breakdown to indicate of the 275 properties, 78 properties, I beg your pardon, where they currently are. Like indicated with Public Works, we have 158 properties, with Rural Development is sitting with 43. Our provinces are sitting with 18 in this case, private is 10, and then there's a verification process for another 49. Chairperson, that brings us to the end of our presentation, and to note the content of the presentation, our alignment to the IMC, the technical teams are working to fast-track the land release, and we've unblocked the legislative and technical challenges that we have been dealing with for some time. Thank you, Chair.
Very much. Any addition from the department, DG?
I think we support the presentation. We can maybe take questions if there are any questions.
DM, any addition? Thank you very much. We're now presenting the report to the honorable members for any clarity seeking question, any question. Honorable Freddy Adams, Dr. Fick, Dr. Madrapa, Honorable Nadi Sifildane, Honorable Ryder, Honorable Matebe.
Before you proceed and allow members to ask questions,
which
presentation is this? What is presented there is not what we have here in our possession. Just for an example,
mm-hmm.
on a slide that deals with properties earmarked for land reform, the presentation on the slide, can you go back to that presentation, to that slide? It talks about 278 properties. But what we have with us here talks about 261. So which presentation is being presented before us here?
Okay.
Have you been taken for a ride here?
No, there is this.
Okay, Honorable Ryder, you are saying something. I'm not sure you clarify.
Chair, just to assist, there are two slides. The one relates to the 261 parcels that have been dealt with already. That is slide number 7. The 278 is on slide, I think, 10. I beg your pardon. Slide 12, and that relates to the 278 that are still outstanding. That's where the discrepancy comes in.
Just to explain, try to be helpful. The difference, obviously, and I think the Honourable Ryder has helped us, but essentially we're talking specifically about restitution claims here. We're not talking about the wider land reform process, including land redistribution. We're talking specifically about the land restitution in terms of claims made. Okay. And the two categories that we're confronted with at the IMC level in regard to restitution, those where the claims have been set, where the claims have been verified, and that's a process that we don't undertake, but obviously the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. But in identifying them, there are properties which we are the custodians for. So that is the first figure, and the second figure which is up there are where the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform has not yet completed the verification of the claims process. I hope that helps colleagues understand.
Honorable Matthias, are you clarified by both the input from Honorable Ryder and the DM in terms of your question, in terms of the accuracy of what was presented? You see what has happened?
No, he's not taken for a ride. I don't see.
Well, for as long as there is an assurance that we are not being taken for a ride.
you
must be on the record. You must be recorded.
We'll be taken
for a ride. Okay. Okay, let's move the way I take it that you are clarified. The way of identify the hands. Honorable Adams, you are to be the first.
Chair, no, thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to the department also for the briefing on what was asked as such. But Chair, I want to find out from the department if they have listened to the State of the Nation address, the marching orders that they've got from the president. Will they be in line with that? Will they have enough manpower to do that, human capital? Will there be enough money? Have they approached Treasury in the meantime since the SONA debate for everything that the president has put down specifically in the process of the vacant land, in the process of what the president has said in terms of speeding up the human settlements as that? I know they've come to brief us on the land restitution process, but it would have been very, very well if we could have had a whole briefing in terms of all the land parcels. I think that would have helped, and that would have put us in a better position to gauge that is the department going in the right direction, is there enough money, is there enough resources, so that we as a portfolio committee could then say, okay, fine, let's look at before Parliament rises that we could actual fact go to other departments and says, but guys, there's the process. The department, or even to Treasury, to say this department is in a shortfall, it won't be able to get to the point of what has been set out in SONA. Then, Chair, secondly, because, you know, with land, for argument's sake, here in the Western Cape, we are in a province that's been governed by the Democratic Alliance. Now, you talk about land, they say, no, National Department has got the money. No, National Department doesn't want to release the land. No, we can't build houses. But they have sent back 1.7 billion of their budget. And the land is there. So it is quite a strange phenomenon that National Department get the blame for everything. But if we look at these type of things, where's the slide now? It's not numbered here, but let me see. Oh, on one of the slides, property earmarked for land reform. If you look at it, the department has got 10 properties. Now, also, it would have been very good, like they did here, to have earmarked what other land parcels are there. UDM and EFF. I didn't know there was a bond between you and Matthias.
The back of my chair slides all the way back. It's not intended for me to slip here, I think.
Okay. No, I understand.
I thought they were fixing the aircon.
Why do you have to play EFF
and EFF? I thought you were evil. Sir, we thought that is the realignment of EFF and UDM and taking place here.
Wherever there's a commotion, you see the EFF.
And wherever Matthias is there, there's a commotion.
Thank you, sir.
So if the department can come back to us and give us specifically in the provincial detail, because department of the province in the Western Cape, in one slide, property earmarks for land reform, they've got no properties. But they claim they've got such a lot of properties. And if you look further down, we can see on one of the other slides, yes, there is properties. Then my last question, Chair, in terms of the Bishop's Court, I'm a Cape Town boy, born and bred here, so I favor Cape Town very much. Bishop's Court, Earth 242. Now, there was two Earthen that was there, 212 and 242.
Okay.
If they can just shed light on what happened to 212,
yeah.
Has the province claimed that back again, or because there was a dispute with it? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Adams. Dr. Fick.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just my intention was not to respond to anybody here, but with regards to the allegation that is made by the Honorable Adams, I'm so pleased that it's on record, because we will verify that information and we will prove that that information that he's now stated is untrue about the funds that were sent back to Treasury. And I see the department was nodding as well. So we will get proof of that. And we will verify that. So I'm pleased that it's on record. And I hope that it's monitored as well. So we will defend that. Perfect. Honorable Chairperson, just with regards to the presentation, I've just got a few questions. If I would like to refer to slide number 2 first. This question about the last bullet point on that page, which is the deals with the generated revenue. Now, as we saw with the minute, that sometimes you have information and you cannot put all the information that is known to, in this case, to the department on one presentation, which is only 14 pages. But with regards to my question that I have, generated revenue, is there any revenue, or rather, is there any property that is leased by the department, residential property specifically, and to whom is that property released, and how much revenue is being generated per region for those residential properties? In other words, what I'm trying to establish is that is there any properties in the different regions where residential properties, people are living where they are paying zero rental. That's what I'm trying to establish. Slide number 3 talks about donations by or to the state. Again, as I indicated, and this will be my reason for questioning, it's not easy to put it on the in the presentation. Is there any donations that have been received by the state or to the state, well, specifically by the state, to the department, donations that the department has given and or received? I'm more interested in the donations that have been given by the department. That same slide, Honourable Chairperson, the last bullet point talks about sale of immovable state property must be market-related value, except, and I note that there is a legal opinion thereafter, but my question is there any market-related or property that has been sold at below market-related value, and to whom? Who are the beneficiaries of that sale? Slide number 4. We talk about something that I've seen for the first time, and it might just be because I'm not in the right place, but mention is made of land at zero. Now, I'm not so sure what land is valued at zero. So could we get an indication of the list of land parcels that are valued at zero? On the same slide, Honorable Chairperson, we talk about positive value land that can be transferred as gifts for gratis. Now, again, do we have an indication or could we get a list of that properties that are of positive value that have been donated gratis? The last bullet point on that slide, Honorable Chairperson, talks about Treasury indicated they will actively monitor the financial health of the PMT and act to improve sustainability. Is there any evidence that that has happened? And can we get an indication of what processes or what action has been taken in the case that the PMT is suffering financial distress? Slide number 5. Oh, okay, I had a question, but the presenter indicated that it was a legal opinion. But just a comment on that. I find it very strange to have a legal opinion that is contrary to the actual legislation, in this case, Treasury regulation. So it's just a comment. I don't need an answer to that, but I just have a concern. On slide number 6, Honorable Chairperson, this is an interesting slide. We talk about 261 properties of settled claims and 278 properties outstanding claims. Now, and the total there is 409,000 hectares. Now, last year, there was a question that I posed to the minister as to how much property does the department possess, and the response that was given was 1.9 million hectares. Okay, that was reported in the media. Now I see that there's only 409,000 hectares that are being dealt with at this point in time. So can you give an indication, what is the correct figure? Or maybe I should further ask, are there any other properties that are in close proximity to in urban areas that could be used and that should be used, and perhaps the reason why these properties are not being used? Are any of these properties in such a dilapidated state, and maybe that's the reason why they're not being used? So that we find very problematic. However, if we look at the 409,243 hectares of land that is being dealt with, unclaimed or settled and unsettled. And then if we look further on in the presentation, 8,543 hectares of land will be settled in 1 year. That's in 2018-19. So if you settle 8,543 in 1 year, and if that's sort of the norm, then this will take, for those 409,243, it will take 16 years to settle, not the 3 years as is indicated in this presentation. So it's a concern that the land reform process is taking so long, and we can understand why there is such a backlog. I wouldn't even want to do a calculation. It's probably closer to 200 years to settle the 1.9 million hectares of land that is in the possession of the department. So that's a concern, Honorable Chairperson. And then on slide number 9, these land claims that have been finalized, just a question as to what legislation will be used. And is there a list of those, again, related to my previous questions, is there a list of these land claims that have been, the properties that have been finalized? And that's all for now, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Fick. Another doctor, Dr. Madlopa.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Greetings to our DM and his entourage. Colleague, I want to... I know that this presentation came as a result of the presentation that came, and then they promised that they will come back and tell us about the properties that will be transferred to restitution as well as the human settlement. But I want to check here, you indicating on this slide, legislation, Property Valuers Act, that when the Office of the Valuer General ascribes a positive so, and then it says this will have negative financial implications for the PMT. If you are saying it will have a financial implication, and then below that, I think my colleague have asked that the Treasury will monitor. I don't know what is it exactly that the Treasury will do to assist in these financial implications that the PMT will have. I'm saying that because we said it must compete as a, you know, like private sector around the issue of the property, leasing, selling and so on. But if you give the property free of charge and so on, how are you going to recover that to make this PMT sustainable and move forward? The other one, Chair, is on... it's including that one that is affecting PMT's liquidity and ability to fund all its costs. We want to know exactly what is it that the Treasury will do, not just, you know, to have a general statement, that it's a sweeping statement, without concrete plan to know that this PMT will be functional and also just work. Also, yeah, it's an example on that one. Also, Chair, I think I'm covered because I wanted to know whether, because this is a long-standing presentation that we promised that it will be presented to us, and now it is presented to us after the highest office in the land, the President, have indicated through the SONA that there are things that need to be done. I wanted to know whether this presentation is also aligned to the priorities of the SONA, but I think colleague covered me on that one. And also the other property, which is 212. What happened to it? Because they were really two. I think if it can be shared with us to say what exactly happened. And also there is an indication on action plan for settled claims, 261 properties. There is an indication that the action plan, responsible department and so on, but here on the 55 land claims, there is an indication of other custodians. We don't know who are other custodians, or is Department of Rural Development and Land Affairs. If they can indicate, even through the attachment, to say which are those. And they also, I see 100 land claims finalized, 100 land claim finalized. There are 200 finalized, but they said all relevant custodians. And there is also the time frame. To us as the public representative, we'd want to know exactly, so that if this thing is not being implemented on the set date, we know exactly who must we follow up with, which department is holding the progress. So if you say all relevant custodian, and this is going to become a public document, a person that is reading out of this will never know what we're talking about. And you know that we must also deal with this legacy report. It must be clear, you know, to say that where we ended and which are those departments, so that if they want to make a joint meeting and discuss the progress on the set date, like 2020, we're not going to be around. But I'm sure that 31st March 2019, we are all here. That one we can follow up ourselves. But the rest, we need really to be appraised on which are those custodians, even if they don't have them now here. They just furnished to us so that we make a follow-up on that. Thanks, Honorable Chair. At the moment, I can pause there.
Thank you very much.
And we are not taking the colleague for a ride. He can see now that he was trying to take us for a ride.
Thank you very much, good doctor. Thank you very much. We're going to hear Honorable Nedis Feldane.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Chair, perhaps I will, with a touch of embarrassment, ask some funny questions here, because apparently there's some background to this presentation with which I am not au fait. And that's why I thought I must prefix my questions with that understanding that apparently some people are more informed on this than I am, maybe. What's referring to slides 6 and 7, what sort of properties are these, this 261? Agricultural, residential, industrial, and so on. Because if there is any even tacit approval by this committee to this, I don't know the purpose of presenting this to us. This is where I'm short. If we are going to give even tacit approval, then we need to know what kind of properties are these. My second question also is fundamental in the sense that I would like to know how government comes to own properties that have been claimed. I'm at a loss there. If we're talking about settled and finalized, I'm used to that language in rural development. When we're talking about properties that have been claimed, now, it's usually a private person, whether it's a community or something, that claims property. And that's where I'm coming from. How does government come to own property that has been claimed, that it is now sitting with properties that it is contemplating disposing of? How did government come to own this? The second last question is, what is the rationale behind the intended disposal? There again, maybe in another meeting that I missed, or during which I slept on the job, I would like to know. And the reason I would like to know, Chair, is simply this, that my understanding is that government has got a lifetime commitment to provide social services to the citizens of the country. And so when government intends, whether at market value or no value, to dispose of properties, if that is what we are about at all here. Now, the land, it does not increase population does. How does government come to this conclusion that I want to dispose of these properties rather than making the properties available for relevant use? If it's agricultural, people who want to practice agriculture, there's a piece of land, then you dictate the terms or you set the terms of government. If it's an industrial area, you know, then you say, there's, I've got a property there, we can let you have it, give you a 25-year lease or something. And the reason I'm thinking there that I'm assuming that government intends disposing is because we're talking about market value, non-market value, and so on. And that, to me, doesn't speak the language of releasing properties to relevant people for use over a period of time. I repeat, South African land does not increase. The population is exploding. And I fear a time when we, when government of the day, could be 100 years, 200 years, would say our population is 200 million. We've run out of space. And now they've got to go back and try and acquire properties from private, from the private sector. So I'm looking at the broad rationale with a view to saying how strategic is government to even decide to dispose of property. Lastly, this is an automatic one. On page 8, to whom will these properties be released? What will be the selection process like? Those are my questions. Like I prefixed my questions. I'm operating from a position, I'm coming from a position that says maybe there's some information that was shared somewhere, and maybe I'm taking the meeting back. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I always like your input. You stop short of indicating that the majority of South African citizens have no land. The land is owned by few. How far are you addressing that? I think you stop short of getting there. Honorable Ryder, you will be followed by Honorable Masekela.
Thank you, Chair. There's some direct questions to the presentation. Just on slide 8, I wanted to ask that paragraph about the Northwest Province. Doesn't make a huge amount of sense to me, possibly because of it's not quite a full sentence to release of the identified properties. I'm just trying to understand, does the province own the land? That paragraph just needs some clarification. The other thing that I wanted to ask is on slide 7 and 12, the slides that were causing our honourable colleague some concern. Those two slides have a column that says, to be verified. It is alarming to me that at this stage of the land restitution process, there are properties under or being claimed where we still are not sure who the owner of that property is. Does that again point to our problematic asset register within government, or is it a fact that the deeds office has not been able to assist? It's alarming that there's been a successful claim on a piece of land and we don't know who the owner is. Weird doesn't even begin to describe it. Good. Chair, then some perhaps more general comments about the presentation. So I just want to reiterate again, we must always remember that Public Works is an enabling department. DG, maybe to you. So, through the chair. Public Works is an enabling department. So, the fact is that there's a process called land restitution. Okay. Now, we are not the driver of this process, but we certainly are an enabler of this. Now, it appears to me that that the department to date has been hiding behind financial rules of treasury, etc., etc., and we now have a legal opinion, which I think should have been fairly obvious from the Constitution. You know, there's nothing stopping one government department expropriating land from another government department. That is quite clear in the Constitution, and it's quite clear as well that it says that if one reads the Constitution, paragraph 25(3).
It says that you can pay an amount below market rates, depending on certain circumstances. Good. And I draw your attention, Deputy Minister, through the chair to you. We had quite an argument last week in this committee because of the fact that we were looking at the high-level panel report. And this is the reason I was grumpy with the minutes as well, because they don't reflect the discussion that we had here. But there's one recommendation within this report aimed directly at public works, and interestingly, it's the one that the committee refused to include in our report on the recommendations of the committee. But it clearly in that says, and I got complained at last week for reading it twice, but it's on page 50 of the executive summary. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And it clearly says here that the willing buyer, willing seller, or the market value issue has not been the biggest constraint to land reform to date. It has more been things like corruption, lack of political will, etc. And it says here as well that government must use its powers of expropriation a little bit more strongly. And I think that is included exactly in what we're talking about here. In achieving land reform, go out there and public works be an enabler. Now, the new draft bill that is not before Parliament, so we can't talk about it yet, but it's out in the public domain, so we can kind of make reference to it. I see makes special mention of issues between departments, so I'm quite keen to hear that. But the question I have is, what happens to the land in terms of ownership, in terms of the constitutional issue of security of tenure? Is this land being transferred to the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform? So again, we have the 1.9 million hectares that were spoken about that is owned by government for whatever our purposes are that's not being utilized. Is the process going to transfer some or all of that across to the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform for them to sit on it and have tenants of the state? Or is the idea ultimately to ensure that title deeds are issued and that people actually become beneficiaries of land reform? Because the reality is, if we're just moving it from one pocket of government to the other and creating beneficiaries of the state or tenants of the state, I don't think we're doing justice to this. So what process is going to be followed there? And what process has been followed in the 261 cases that have happened to date? Now, when we talk about those 261 cases to date, I mean, there's one particular one which is nasty. And I mean, let's remember, Chairperson, if we can make this thing practical. There's a claim number A921, that was lodged in 1998 in terms of the legislation. The claim was finalized in 2013. It relates to 92 hectares of land just near the Cape Town International Airport, which is currently owned by the Department of Public Works. Okay. And there was a cash offer made to the claimants, the Audriances, because obviously the land is earmarked for expansion of the airport. They rejected the cash offer and said that they wanted alternative property, alternative government-owned property. So that was in 2013 that process, as I say, was finalized, the offer was made, etc. In 2016... Department of Rural Development and Land Reform reverted to the claimants and said, Public Works advises that there's no suitable land available. And this matter sits in 2019 with no conclusion. A claim lodged in 1998 is sitting with no conclusion in 2019. Now, this is one of those, I presume, that falls in the 261 that we're dealing with. So it's something that we're saying, okay, so Rural Development and Land Reform has dealt with the issue. But the claimants have not received the land yet. They're sitting without the land. Now, Dr. Matlope mentioned just now that, you know, we the public reps and we must make sure that our people are getting things. What are the time frames here? 1998 to 2019, a successful claim, and they haven't received the land yet, and Public Works is the spoke in the wheel that's holding up the whole process. So I think we really need to answer that. Then, of course, there's the 278 claims that we're dealing with on page 12 that are yet to be dealt with, of which I see the vast majority on Public Works. I'd like to know time frames on that. I hear you say there's paperwork, et cetera, but how are we helping? What is the process? Because, you know, the sooner we deal with land reform, the sooner we're going to be able to get on with the fact of governing the country. Chair, and then my last point is a request or a recommendation to the committee to state that specifically today's meeting needs to be captured for the purposes of our legacy report, because quite clearly we're not going to conclude this matter today. There's many questions that are being raised here which are going to have to be handed over to our successors, and I do think that this needs to be captured in the legacy report with a clear set of indicators of what the next step is going to be, because really I don't believe Public Works has covered themselves in glory in this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Reda. Honourable Masiela.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. My first question, seeing that it has already been alluded to the issue of verification and so on, I wanted to check what is the status of our asset register as we speak now. Are we done with it, or what is happening? The other one, I wanted more clarity on page 5, on the legal opinion. Can you give us more clarity on it? The other issue, Honourable Chair, is on, I can't see the number, but it shows the land, and it describes the people who have been given the land. I think it's, I don't see what is the number of this. But what I wanted to check is that it's good to have given people land and so on. Land has been transferred to people. But the problem in most cases is capacitation of those communities. What are the strategies from the department to ensure that the people who are given land are also capacitated so that it does not end up being a wasteful exercise at the end of the day because they don't know how to go about with the land? Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Manuku Elizabeth Masihela. We now hand over to Honorable Matthias.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. I don't know on what basis do we have to discuss what is referred to as property management trading entity. Which legislation gives effect to the existence of such an entity? The only reference made here is that it was established and approved by the National Treasury and started meaningful operations in 2015-2016. Is there any piece of legislation which establishes an entity like this? We may be dealing with some legal activities here, unlawful activities, similar to the Posasa activity. So this a question such as this is important. But I, chances are, look, we're dealing with a very sensitive matter of land here. Public Works is custodian on some land. Department of Rural Development and Reform also is a custodian of some parcels of land and various other state entities such as Transnet hold land. That gives a picture of a fragmented form of or model of land ownership by the state without even thinking about land that is in private hands. And I don't know why is that the case. Perhaps I have got an answer to that.
Maybe let me assist you, Honourable Member, yes, so that you are relevant. Your first area of concern was the existence of the PMTE. So You are out of order.
Yeah.
It is not, the MPMT is not on the table. So the committee is aware who PMT is. The cabinet is aware. The government is aware. So you are out of order. Now you are moving to a second concern. The fact that land is found in various government departments. So you are also out of order because this is the situation where myself and you found ourselves in. In fact, it's even better fragmented today than yesterday. So you should be smiling. We
why
get,
should I smile when you when yourself out
in
of
terms of I'm giving you some
I don't know why you're impatient to listen to me. Rule me out of order after having made my submission.
Okay. No. If you can give the chair the opportunity, because the chair facilitates the meeting. So it's not you who facilitates the meeting, it is the chair.
You are prejudicial. You don't listen to me. You're so impatient with me to a point that you think that we're in an ANC branch meeting where you can call me out of order. I'm making a presentation, my submission. No matter how wrong am I, listen to me.
No, I am going to listen to you. But it's important that you also understand that the person who facilitates the meeting, has also the duty to protect the people who are invited here to make a presentation. So I have that duty. Allow the chair to also do the task of protecting everybody, including yourself. So please don't appear like you want to take over. Definitely, I am known by participants here. I want everybody to participate. I am known, don't worry about participation. So I allow, but when you attack other people in my presence, I will be failing if I don't try. You attack everybody. So I have a duty, but speaking, you will speak.
I don't think Jeremy thinks he's been attacked here as the deputy minister. I don't know what gave you the right to think that you must speak on his behalf.
We are capable of defending ourselves.
I don't know what makes you gives you the right to think that he thinks that he's under attack. And please don't reduce this meeting into a bureaucratic meeting. The policy makers, we are lawmakers. We may even venture into uncharted waters. We may even raise things which you may feel uncomfortable with. So if you wanted a purely bureaucratic meeting, then you're in the wrong place. And if this is the history of the portfolio committee to deal with bureaucracy, to ask questions like these that have been asked here, and not talk about the philosophical orientation of what we're dealing with here, then we're in a wrong meeting. But if you've got the powers to gag me, to muzzle me from speaking, then you can exercise those powers.
Yeah, no, please.
But they will not go unchallenged.
My dear, please. One thing you must do.
Allow me to make my presentation.
No, please. Not the way you are doing. You don't belittle the chair. Please. You don't belittle the chair. And you also, your input should be based on the presentation. And you really avoid attacking other people, and including the chair. It's just not right. Please, make your input based on what is presented, but control yourself in terms of attacking everybody, including the chair. Please.
Okay, let me proceed.
Honorable Chair. We're dealing with land here, and how department intends to identify this land, that which is yet to be identified, and how it is currently dealing with land that has already been identified, earmarked for certain purposes, both for land reform and restitution. I'm saying we may be creating some unintended confusion here, of assigning the responsibility of land restitution and land reform
to an entity which, sitting where I'm seated, may be unlawful, may be illegal. That's the point I'm making. Secondly, we are treating land as if it's an object that can be disposed at any given time. And worse, the Ministry of Public Works is under a former trade unionist and a former deputy secretary of the Communist Party. The kind of words and the vocabulary we use here is a bit problematic, in that we had hoped and expected from the leadership like theirs at least to veer the country towards a socialist orientation. If they fail to drive it towards a socialist orientation, at least to a non-capitalist orientation. They would know that, Honorable Jeremy Cronin would know that there is no neutrality in class struggle. So there is no neutrality in vocabulary. So I'm disturbed by the kind of words, the terminology that is used here, such as land viewed as a property which can be disposed at a free market, open market, and on the basis of whoever who has the most money can buy the land, and who does not have money will suffer the consequences. Now, I was at the point when I was interrupted by your good self, Honorable Chair, that the land question in this country has been evasive. It has been a very evasive subject, and is only gaining traction now recently. And I don't know why we get irritated when you talk about that matter. And the land question will be guarded very jealously, and ensure that no piece of land of the 122 million hectares of land shall be sold to the highest bidder, as it is in the intention of the department to do so. Let me caution that piecemeal identification, acquisition and transfer of land, as it is the case currently, will not be, and it is not a solution. We call upon the department to identify the land and not leave us in a situation where we ask questions such as honorable members have shown, that we don't know who owns what. For instance, as honorable member of the DA has pointed out that, for instance, which slide is this one? The one that deals with action plan for settled claims. At this time and era, we don't know who owns the land and who's responsible for what. The best you could do, or the department could do, is to refer to other custodians, all relevant custodians. What is that? What kind of state is this that does not know who owns what and who's responsible for what? So I'm saying, Deputy Minister, this piecemeal identification, acquisition and transfer of land in a manner in which the department is dealing with it, it's not a solution. We call upon a comprehensive identification, acquisition and transfer of land. And lastly, just as land would be restituted through relevant restitution legislation, such land must be transferred to claimants at zero rate, or what else, or otherwise what is referred to as gratis, and the agency or the entity that is here, which I'm saying is unlawful, is illegal, should not expect to generate any revenue from any land that would have been settled for restitution purposes. And should that be the case, that will be unlawful, and we are warning that it should not be allowed. If it's been engaged in, the department must stop in such illegal and unlawful activity. Land restituted is on zero basis or is on gratis. In fact, what the department should do is to provide tools for claimants to work the land and turn it productively.
Thank you very much. Honorable Matera.
Thank you, Chair. I'm from Bakopa, Bakanga Bakopa community, and I think they've just been informed about the claim. Portion 1 from page 11. Portion 1, portion 1, please look 166 AS. Yes, of course, some of the portions, the claim is being finalized, but we still have outstanding documents that is not yet. I would like DG to make follow-up on that. And others have been covered, Chetwe. I'm just worried about this battle of ideology in terms of land. The land is complex. We don't just finish now. It has been there from 1560. From now, we don't just... You cannot finish it, but you just have to deal with. The last one is the status quo of this. I've been asking this question a long time ago. The status quo of asset register. I'm not quite sure. I'm not yet certain. I'm not yet answered by department, because really today we don't know. As our colleague said, we don't know who's owning property, where and how. We need to unpack, especially in the provinces, where we just see the property all over and we don't know them. Maybe some are dead, some they are no longer there. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of complex. But it's our duty, all of us, as a public representative. It's not a question of chair or ANC or whatever. It's all our duty of all political organizations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Can we hand over back to the department? The DM feels we need to answer first. Over to you, DM.
The colleagues will be better able than I to answer specific questions around specific the airports, the AXA issue in Cape Town, for instance, the Bishop's Court issue and so on. I think colleagues will obviously, you know, be better equipped than me. But I think the first thing is, I think that I think the members are a bit frustrated with the input, okay, that we've given. And I think that's possibly because my colleagues have basically, I think, literally taken the request from the Portfolio Committee, if I understand correctly, to talk about land restitution and the role of the Department of Public Works in regard to land restitution, okay. And so many of the questions are not about land restitution, but about the wider, very important land reform process. Okay. So it's a pity, and maybe we should have combined the high-level panel discussion, which you had last week, I think, or in a previous week, with this input, and really gone for a more comprehensive report, not just on the land restitution issues, but also then bring in the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and perhaps also the Human Settlements Department, and have a joint committee's approach. Because I think that would give us a better bird. So what we're doing is we're looking at one aspect of the bigger picture of land reform. Okay. So if I can just talk to that a little bit, so it won't necessarily answer. So the Honourable Adam, first of all, maybe let's just say that speaking maybe or maybe not as a communist, but certainly as a representative of the government, okay, which is what I'm here at, is that in line with the high-level panel, in line with the Constitution, the land reform process has three key pillars and not one or two. It's about land restitution. It's about land reform. And the difference between those is restitution is based on claims, historical claims. A family, a household, a community have been moved horribly in the apartheid past, been shifted into some ghetto or into some, you know, rural dumping ground, and they've launched a claim. Okay, so that's land restitution. land redistribution is, in my view, the more interesting, okay, and more important job. Because of South Africa, as I think numbers of colleagues said, the land stands, the quantity of land stays the same, and it's probably degrading thanks to mining and all kinds of other things. So the amount of land, unless we launch adventures into other countries or whatever, remains the same. And therefore, we can't solve the challenges, including the land challenges, but the social justice, social transformation problems, by simply going backwards into a horrible past. We've also got to go forward actively. And so that's the limitation of land restitution. It's based on communities making claims and saying we were removed and so on. As the high-level panel, amongst others, have pointed out, the land restitution problem has many, many challenges. Okay. First of all, it's a complicated legal process, land claims court, and all kinds of things. So many of these communities can't prove, okay, the papers disappeared, the what happened, anthropologists are called in, historians are called in, all kinds of traditional law experts are sort of called in to think. The first problem. Second problem is, I spoke to a comrade, a colleague, I should say, for the niceties of Parliament. I spoke to a colleague, okay, whose family was moved, horribly evicted, okay, from the eastern part of the Free State in the 60s, okay. And so there's a claim, on a legitimate claim. But now who are the rightful claimants? Because what was once a household has now become uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, brothers and sisters, and so on. So the claim is directed to what is a small plot of land, and it's a legitimate claim in terms of the law and so on. But you're not going to solve their problem by returning them, all of them or any of them. Which is why a majority, or a high, the figures vary, but some figures I see, something like 90% of the claimants, who then their claim is legitimized, opt to take a financial compensation. Okay. Now, that's just, and it's legal and so on, but the problem is it doesn't transform the racial character of land ownership and possession and land use in our country, because you're not changing that. So we've got to pursue land restitution, and that's what we're talking about today. And what is the role? And I agree with the colleagues who said the Department of Public Works' role is a facilitating role. We're not driving the land restitution process, and shouldn't, because that's where you're right. The property management trade entity shouldn't be deciding who benefits from a restitution claim and shouldn't be providing tools. We're not in that space, okay? That's rural development and land reform. Are they doing their work effectively? Is the land claims court jammed up? Are there all kinds of problems? Those are issues where it would have been useful to have had other departments here and other portfolio committees so that we could get a more comprehensive report. Okay. So land redistribution is a much more active looking forward. It's identifying land in urban areas, for instance, where we can build and should be building well-located, not remote Khayelitsha, Orange Farm, RDP housing, but well-located for the working class and the poor of our country, well-located land, mixed income, mixed use, and so on. So that wouldn't be based on historical claims. That would be based on moving forward into a better, de-racialized, and hopefully, I agree with you, socialist, but I'm not speaking better to government, but as someone else, wearing another cap, into a more socialized and more just and equitable South Africa. So the land redistribution program. Now, the task of the Department of Land Reform is to produce, and the high-level panel calls for it, and they've committed through the interministerial, to produce a land redistribution legislation. Okay, I think parliamentarians should ask them, including those from the ANC side, where is that? Okay, because that's very critical, so that we say land redistribution can't be for a political elite. It can't be, you know, what we've seen in some other countries. It's got, who are the key? It's people that can, who desperately need land. It's the poor, the working class, for human settlement purposes, for farming purposes, etc., and so on. So we need to provide clear legislative guidance. That's not a land grab on behalf of the thing. Okay. So I hope, okay, then the other important pillar, sorry, I know I'm going way beyond the actual mandate, but I think we're all frustrated, including probably my colleagues, that we've sort of loyally followed what the instruction is. Let's talk about land restitution and where are we in that, and what is our role in that as public work. The other critical issue is, of course, security of tenure, which is a constitutional obligation, and a correct one, because we know that the majority of South Africans in the past didn't have security of tenure, okay, and the majority probably still don't have security of tenure in the country of their birth, basically. Okay, so we've got to address that. And I was glad, I'm not sure if this, that the, Matthias actually said that ownership must be transferred to those who have land restituted. I didn't think that was EFF policy, but then I'm not a specialist on EFF policy. I thought the ownership function would be with the state. But certainly the position of government, okay, is that we need to have not title deeds only. Title deeds work very well for someone like myself, where my house is a transferable asset. I can borrow from the bank against that. I used to be able to, I can't, you know, but whatever. So it's a tradable entity. But for many, many, many South Africans, a house is not a commodity. It's a home, you know. It's a place. It doesn't belong to an individual who can then sell it with a title deed. So we need to have, and the high-level panel recommends this, and I really strongly support it, and government supports this, a variety of forms. Public ownership, cooperative ownership, individual title deeds, and a range of other forms of ownership. I think that's the just direction to travel in. Okay. Then if I can then try to then quickly touch on some of the detail, but at the expense. Okay. So there's a confusion. I'm not sure if it's 1.9 million, you say that's what the minister said, but the land holdings, extensive land holdings of the Department of Public Works, is certainly of that order. Okay. What I know off the top of my head is it's something like 30,000 land parcels, and some 90,000 structures, buildings, okay. And maybe it's of the order of 1.5, 1.9 million hectares. I'm not on top of that figure. Now, all of that isn't for restitution. Overwhelmingly, we're going to hold on to that, okay, you'll be pleased to hear, as Public Works, because our main function is to house government departments, police stations, home affairs offices, magistrates' courts, and so on. So the majority of the property on our immovable asset register, which is up to date, is collected. Obviously, you constantly update an immovable asset register. The challenge with our immovable asset register currently is the valuation and the vesting. Okay, so there's some challenge. But fundamentally, if we know what we've got, we have a 99% understanding of public works through the property management trading as you own. Okay, so that's not the issue here. So that big amount, whether it's 1.9 or 1.5, 1.3, whatever, million hectares, majority will remain with the Department of Public Works, okay, in order to carry out our core function, which is to house departments, magistrates' courts, all of those things. Okay, we have no intention of disposing. But thanks to our movable asset register and the work that we're doing and the pressure that we're feeling, which is good pressure from communities and so on, are we sitting on idle land? Okay. Are we sitting on buildings that could be used for other purposes and so forth? And so the pressure has come. And so certainly passing my desk in the recent period, thanks to DDG, Subban and others, we're starting to see now considerable traffic in terms of releasing for land redistribution, particularly for human settlements. We're starting to identify parcels of land that we are just sitting on and not using actively and that could be used. Okay. Now, we don't then go out and give it to people. What we do is we transfer it to the Department of Human Settlements because they are in the business of, or should be, in the process of low-cost housing development and so on. We're not the specialists in that. So that's our approach. So it's a bit confusing. Okay, so what we're dealing here with is claims that have been settled and claims that are still in the process of being settled. So they're two categories, okay? And that's where whatever it is, the 40, I forget the exact figure, the 40-odd thousand hectares are on our immovable asset register. It's
amounts of land sitting there, which have been identified as legitimate claims. And when that happens, then we're obliged basically, and we can talk about the AXA issue at the Cape Town Airport, and my colleague here will talk in detail about that. So what we then do is we dispose of them gratis. Okay, there was a bit of a wobble with Treasury because Treasury was not unsympathetic to some of these cases, but, you know, Treasury tends to look at the world understandably like a Treasury does, and it's their job to do that, and we've got to look at it from the perspective of facilitating land reform, land restitution, and the things that need to happen. Okay, so basically we're in the process of the targets, and we're going to meet our targets, okay, for the end of March in terms of what has been identified as a legitimate claim, what's sitting on our books, and we will transfer that. The ones that we're still waiting for, that second table, is dealing with where there's still either the claim hasn't been completely completed, if I understand correctly, or the custodianship is a bit uncertain and so on. Okay, so that's why there are two tranches. A few other brief things that I want to say. Yes, you see, Honourable Adams, you asked the question, the Sona speech committed this government, and presumably then a new government, to accelerated land reform. And we certainly believe that we are, perhaps we were slow, we can concede that, but we think certainly we're ahead of the game, actually, as Salvador. Do we have budget and so on? This is not budget-intense stuff, mainly because a lot of it, if we're talking about land restitution, obviously requires person power. And because we've got a property management trading entity, which is not, hasn't got legislation, okay, it's not something floating out on the, it basically is under the department, okay, and under the, and reports to the DG, but has a CEO, and its function is to manage more professionally this huge property that we have. And I think the other more regular members of the portfolio committee, and I'm not casting aspersions, I'm not even making any point about it. I'm just saying that I think that generally, from the DA and from our colleagues, they're critical of some of what we do. And so, but they all recognise, I think, Honourable Sultan, I think, can speak on this, that setting up a property management trading entity rather than just a bureaucratic government department, heavy with administrators, and not having professionals in the property space, has been an important positive step forward, so that the state can act as a developmental state. So it becomes an important instrument for that. I think, so I'm talking very generally, but you know that's all I can do. The other colleagues are much better at talking about the detail. Just on the expropriation issue, and maybe I should talk about that. So yes, there's an expropriation bill which went out in December. Some people said cynically, you publish it for public comment just before Christmas. But what we did do is instead of allowing 30 days, which is the normal thing, because it was Christmas, we said 60 days. And I've told my staff, and be generous if some of the comments come in 5 days later and so on, it's okay. But what we do want to do is to submit it to Parliament before this Parliament ends. Obviously, the committee is not going to have the chance to deal with it, but at least then we've put something in place for a few, and hopefully it will be revised. Okay. Now, just on the issue that I think was Honourable Ryder raising, on advice from senior counsel and so on, one department can't expropriate another department. Okay, and so we don't envisage that in this bill either. And we've never envisaged that. But what those that have expropriating powers can do, okay, is expropriate state-owned enterprises. Okay. So we know that Transnet, we know that Eskom, we know that numbers of other state-owned enterprises are sitting on some significant land and often not using it effectively. And in the current draft bill that was out for public comment, we explicitly say that this would be one category of land that could be expropriated with nil compensation. In other words, with zero compensation. It would be one case where it wouldn't necessarily be the case. Obviously, every case would need to be looked at specifically. But if Donnell or Transnet or whatever is sitting on land that's not being used, it's not part of this thing, but could be used for settlement and so on, strongly support expropriation, whether it's by a metro or by a province or by public works or whatever, human settlement, to the possibility of expropriating below market value, and for that matter, it could be for with nil compensation, but the compensation will be nil. Okay. So just to clarify that, the relationship between departments and spheres of government is governed by the cooperative governance requirements in the Constitution, and correctly so, because otherwise we'd have a war of, you know, national departments expropriating the Western Cape departments because they're under DA and DA trying to expropriate. So you get into, like, you know, a problem. Yeah. So I was kind of very general, but I was just a bit worried that the conversation was a little bit, and understandably, because we're all passionate about this issue and need to be passionate about it, that it was a bit sort of all over the place. So, Chair, thanks for your indulgence. I hope that you didn't go for me like you went for my colleague from the EFF. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, yeah. Okay. At least Matthias is happy. I think gave some clarity on those areas.
I'm not looking there.
Okay, honourable members. Honourable members, I think in terms of time, we are left with very few minutes. There is a proposal that we may want to consider, because taking your questions, almost all of them would need more clarity from what was presented. All of you, from what was presented, you needed more. So now I'm looking at requesting that the department go back, take into consideration all your questions and clarities, your comments, come back next week. We try to be early, 9:30, present a more elaborate document, taking into account all your areas of concern, so which means try to accommodate as much as possible. Where you were not clear, you give more clarity. So that is the proposal that I want to put, because if the DM alone took about 10 minutes, so the DG and the SASA might take another hour or so, which we don't have. So I'm putting it to you, honourable members, honourable Sadane, and then honourable Steve.
Thanks very much, Chair. Yes, rather than just touching on these questions, I will go with your proposal in the hope that they have actually captured our questions, so that when we come back, they are able to say, question by so-and-so, three questions, more questions. I know there was a lot of comment as well. They would know how to handle comments, but where there are specific questions, we trust and hope that they will be able to zoom in and be specific with their answers. These are very, very fundamental.
Yes. Dr. Pip?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm not agreeing with the member from the UDM, but that's exactly my point. As long as every question is answered, then that proposal is acceptable. Because sometimes we have this agreement or the proposal, and when it comes back, then it's selective questions that are answered, and we really need all those responses. Thank you.
Honourable Pip, and then Honourable Adams. And the Dr. Matapa.
Since Dr. Fix just spoke, I presume I'm Dr. Fix for the purposes of that announcement. Thank you, Chair. Chair, if you can just also, in line with the same thing, but just deal with my proposal that we add this into our legacy report for serious noting going forward,
the fact that this needs to be followed up. So I presume an answer next week would be nice, but future, and I think the Honourable Deputy Minister's suggestion to have a joint meeting with Rural Development and Land Reform is something that our future colleagues would also need to anticipate.
Thank you, Honourable Reda. Honourable Adams.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair, when we give the department the time, they must also liaise with their colleagues in land reform so that we can get an holistic picture as well when they report back to us in terms of resources, concrete plans, and what has been done so far and what is the benchmark against what's the benchmark that they will achieve or maybe try to achieve from what the SONA has stated as such. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Dr. Teliwe Madopa.
I'm covered, Chair, on the last day. I'm covered by the Honourable Adam.
Thank you very much. We think, Honourable Members, we are pleased that we all looking forward to a more detailed presentation, Sasa, more detailed, ensure that each member's concerns and questions is taken care of. Where possible, take more info from other departments. The issue of trying to have a joint meeting is a good one, but is not always easy to convene. So that's why what is easy is that go and get information from your colleagues. Give us information like Honorable Adams is suggesting. Give us all the information, where things are, and what is possible. And the idea put by Matthias, let alone that he want to take over the chairperson's role, but are good that, you know, we must move towards a socialist approach where every South African citizen has a reason to smile. Not few people have learned, isn't it, former Jews? So everybody must have a reason to smile, you see. So thank you very much. Honourable members, thank you very much for really coming in time. This meeting is adjourned.
No, I didn't give him a full briefing. I wanted him to be exposed. I left him to be exposed.
DM, my understanding is that the real reason why you allow 60 days is because you don't want to matter to the final system.
Go home with that.
No, but listen, there's no way. There's no way. Remember how long it took with the original bill?
Yeah.